Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dawn, roll away the dawn, and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at all? Sweet liberty, sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan, or is it a state of mind? Never forget!
You're listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. Here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for being here tonight. This is Tuesday. It is the 19th of April in the year 2005. And I hope that many of you are having as beautiful and delightful days as we've been having here in Millerton, Pennsylvania. Our spiritual message this evening is from John 18. We do this a lot, yes. In verse 37, when Jesus was having a conversation with Pontius Pilate, and Pilate asked him, "Are you a king?" And Jesus said, "You say that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." And that's pretty cut and dried. Alan Watt, thank you for being here tonight with us again.
Pleasure, yeah.
No, thank you very much. Last night, you know, it is very difficult when you're in a conversation that seems to be just rolling and moving fluidly.
Yeah.
It's difficult to pick it up.
Sure, yeah.
But I wrote down the words religiosity versus spirituality.
Yeah, well, we know that religion means to rebind or to retie. And since most religion, well, all religions really, have come from pre-existing religions, the elite that ruled them simply updated them, called them something else, and rebound the people or retied the people to the new.
The word, did you say it's the word ligio or ligio?
Ligio, yeah.
It's a Latin word meaning to bind.
That's right, yeah.
So religion, to rebind.
Yeah.
In other words, the same game just under a new name.
Yes. So that's what religion is. And religion also has always been used with a hierarchy at the top, symbolizing the god or the heavenly, and then all of his helpers and priests down to the lowest priest, and then all about them are the stars, the commoners, you see, the people, the masses. And so it was a reconstruction of that which is above and bringing it below, as the Masons say, and that's what religion was made to do, you know. That's why, in fact, they used the solar symbols in all of their religions, including Christianity. You know, spirituality is a different thing altogether. Without spirituality, or humankind's natural feeling or knowledge that there's something much bigger working things out there, and it's much, much bigger than himself or any human, the ones that rule this earthly plane use that need and then pervert it into their own use by dominating the people, often by terrifying them with visions of Hades for the Greeks and hell eventually for the Western Christians. So and sin, of course, which is a big thing. And so, yes, religion itself was used to dominate and control the public, to keep a minority in absolute wealth and power. And it hasn't changed today.
sometimes, maybe a conversation like this, people who I've talked to a couple of our listeners recently, and we got into this conversation about whether or not we're a, quote, Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I always thought I was, but I realize now I'm not. I never was.
Yeah.
Not in the way that the, quote, the religion of Christianity teaches.
Sure.
Or demands that we believe.
Yeah.
And yet it takes nothing away
mm-hmm.
from what true Christianity could have been if it wasn't made into a religion.
That's right. You see, the Christianity in the Gospels is simply eternal truth.
Yes.
Eternal truth never changes. It's eternal. It can't be. It can't mean something different in a different century, or in a different millennium. These are eternal truths. And obviously, if people followed the eternal truths without priesthoods or ministers, you would not have this economic system, which we're all slaves to, run by the money men and the power brokers and the war makers. It could not exist if people could use their own natural humanity to each other and help each other out.
Yeah.
And it certainly would also mean that you wouldn't have this high-tech society either. All the toys would be gone. But we've been taught to equate progress.
What do you mean all the toys would be gone, Alan?
All the toys that we take for granted today, which we were told would fulfill us, basically. Every ad on television tells you, you buy this latest gadget and you'll suddenly be smiling, you know. And, of course, that doesn't happen. But the big boys who run this system and who have a plan to conquer the whole planet and alter the planet through science, including everybody on the planet, they've conditioned the public to believe that all these toys are good for us.
Yeah.
You know. And of course, the whole meaning of the allegory of Eden was the natural state. That's what it meant, the natural state of being. And once you leave the natural state of being, then you're on a road to using science to create something better, what you think is better. And yet it creates a dominant elite who control the system and who are in the process now of conditioning the public to accept chips in their heads.
Oh, geez. You know, I just this evening pulled up some email, and there was an article, I don't know who wrote it, about that within the next decade, 75% of the people could be chipped.
Yes.
And here are the ways that it could happen.
Mm-hmm.
First of all school children would have to be chipped. That's for their own good. And if you're in the military, you have to be chipped. And if you're on Social Security or any type of government social programs, you'd have to be chipped, you know,
mm-hmm.
for identification.
That's right.
And if you work for a private company that has government contracts,
mm-hmm.
you'd have to be chipped. And I'm telling you, Alan, when you read this,
mm-hmm.
excuse me, you see how actually, I'm afraid to say this, but how easily they could get people to buy into doing this.
When they had the world meeting of the geneticists and biologists and the electronics technicians who worked on the advanced chips, active chips, at the Loyola meeting, at the Loyola University meeting 2 or 3 years ago, if anybody who gets a hold of that, they should go through it carefully, because all the top scientists were there and some of the politicians were there. It was headed off by Newt Gingrich, and the U.S. Department of Commerce paid for it, and yet the public weren't even told about it.
Was this the one where you said that they said that they could combine human cells with computers?
Yes, they've I think it was Sony Corporation, and it's been in some magazines and newspapers over the last few years. Sony had created a form of protoplasm, a human tissue, in other words, combined it with chips and found that they could transmit through both without any problem. Now, what it does, what enabled them to do was to create a chip which they can, and this was all discussed at the Loyola University meeting. They have created the chip, and it's part a protoplasm. It will be inserted, they said. Now, these guys didn't say we'd like to. They said this will be inserted in each individual's head.
In the brain someplace?
In the brain, and it will interface with the main cortex. And it will be able to transmit to every part of your brain, make any part of your body move, for instance. And they said also that it will be run by a regional computer. There will be regional computers in every region, which will operate each person's mind for them. And one of them
said...
And
I suppose that would be by programming.
Yes.
So they could take, literally, let's say, a group, a certain group of people.
Yeah.
Program them to be one way.
Mm-hmm.
Select out an individual.
Yes.
And program that individual to do certain things.
Yeah, specialized tasks.
Yes, uh-huh.
And if somehow...
Or let's say, I mean, Alan?
Yeah?
Could they go so far as to, I suppose this is speculation, but to have people either commit homicides or suicide?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, one of the top scientists there said, this will be the end of individuality as we have known it. He said it will no longer be possible for the individual to even perceive of themselves as being an individual. He said it will be more like the hive.
It's pretty arrogant.
Yes.
And then when you look at, you know, just that thing I just shared with you all,
mm-hmm.
About the different reasons where they could justify,
yeah.
And people would go along with it because their jobs are involved.
Yes.
It's the way they, quote, make a living.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That they would say, okay,
yes.
I have to do
and
this.
And the thing is, they went through that whole scenario, in fact, at the Loyola University meeting, the different techniques they would get the public to take the chip. They gave the time limit to have everybody chipped, and they want a good majority to be chipped by the year 2012, and all of them to be chipped by the year 2019. And they said that they would promote, they said that every kindergarten, school, every novel writer will be given grants, film producer, and so on will be given grants to write these things into their chips to make the children want them. And and already they've churned out movies since that meeting with about brain chips and showing you all the advantages they want you to believe you'll have, where you could be downloaded with information without,
you know,
having to study.
And you know, probably one of the ways that they'll use it first,
uh-huh.
to give that first impression of how miraculous this is.
Yes.
A person who may be paralyzed.
Oh, yes.
And they could make this person be able to get up and walk and move, and
yep.
people would be gasping in awe
mm-hmm.
at this wonderful and marvelous invention.
Yeah. It's so easy to do, but especially when they convince youngsters that they're going to be the guy Neo in the Matrix.
Yeah.
You know, I need a program right now for whatever helicopter, and it just programs the pilot's instructions right into your head. And of course, it won't be like that at all, because as they've said, the purpose is to eliminate individuality from the public.
Yes.
They said in their heads, because they're all linked to central computers, you'll hear vague whisperings of other people's thoughts. And it'll be more like the hive, they said, than a system of humanity. And what it is, actually, is the Borg in the Star Trek series.
Which one is the Borg?
The Borg is the cyborg-type human with the implants and the brain chip. Run by a central computer.
He's not one with the glasses, the funny glasses.
They can have one eye is infrared or something. But that's what the Borg are, and they're laughing in her face because the Borg means original bee. you see.
The original B.
And, of course, the Borg series.
You're saying that the word Borg itself means the original B.
The original B. And even in the Star Trek series, the Borg craft or spaceships are called the Hive. So they put it all in front of her face through fiction, which programs them as subliminally to be familiar with the idea, vaguely familiar with it, and we don't use our sensor part of our brain when we're being entertained, so we don't critically analyze the outcome. So that when they present the actual thing to us, because it's vaguely familiar, we tend to go along with it.
Yeah.
And that's called predictive programming from Tavistock Institute in England. But these scientists did not hope to do anything. They said what they were going to do.
Yeah.
So they've been given authority from the highest sources to do this. And so that's where science and leaving Eden, which is the natural state, that's where it would always take you, to the same non-existence, you might say.
Yeah, you know, you could easily hear something like this and realize that the possibility is great.
Yes.
You know, that they could be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be real easy to say, well, I'll be out of here by then.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to think about all of the children, Alan.
I know. I know. I mean, it's literally the end of human consciousness.
Well, you know what? They're not going to be successful.
Mm-hmm. I know, because there will be people who will resist taking this. Many will take it, believing all the propaganda they're given, that it's going to enhance them and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But once that main switch is thrown one day, they'll all turn into little robots, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the function of it. And when you go back to some of the elite's writings in the past, such as the Next Million Years by Charles Galton Darwin, Darwin's the grandson, who was a physicist, he talked about this. He says, we must get rid of the excess commoners on the planet. He says, and those we retain, we must eliminate that part of their brain which gives them their individuality. Because it's individuality which gives problems to the elite, you see. It's that resistant spark within the individual which makes him resist ultimate power. So they want to get rid of that, and then they'll have their utopia. However, Darwin himself said, we, however, being the dominant minority, must retain our survival instincts, and therefore we will be left unaltered. So in other words, it will destroy our individual survival instinct.
Mm-hmm.
And Arthur Koestler, who worked on the same programs for the United Nations, in his book, The Ghost in the Machine, in the last chapter says the exact same thing. We must eliminate individuality from the average person. However, we, the dominant minority, must retain our survival instincts and therefore will remain unaltered. So this has been a long worked out plan. It's what they call utopia, you see.
But they say that they're the dominant minority.
Yes.
But those are really, aren't they minions?
They're the lower minions, and if you go back as far as the plans given out by Plato in the Republic for this perfect world state of theirs, Plato talked about the high aristocracy being called the guardians.
Okay.
And the guardians would be allowed to bring in some helpers from the lower class who may see themselves as guardians but actually would not be. So they'd be a higher helper. And then if we jump from there to Zygmunt Brzezinski's book,
Between Two Ages
and the Technotronic Era. He goes into the same things about controlling each individual electronically while the dominant elite will remain unaltered.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know what I think?
Mm-hmm.
When we succumb to the lies of organized religion,
mm-hmm.
we are losing our individuality, Alan.
Well, that was the first attempt. You see, the old method of controlling everyone was to have them all conditioned in the same way. That's a form of destroying individuality.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And that's why they had the mass for the masses.
It's, for example, as you talk sometimes, I write down a word or a thought,
uh-huh.
and this is going back in our conversation, but when you were talking about religions, and that's exactly what they were meant to do,
mm-hmm.
I wrote down the word contradictions
yeah.
and the word slavery. Because, for example, in the Gospels, Jesus says very simply to do unto others,
mm-hmm.
or as you would have, or love your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, anybody who calls themselves, quote, a Christian, and then goes ahead and says, well, it's okay to have slaves.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. It's in the good book.
Yeah.
You know, God allowed it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're right there, Alan. I don't mean to say that in such a condescending or derogatory way either, but right there, when you see an absolute contradiction,
mm-hmm.
and you will accept both of them as true,
mm-hmm.
because it's in the, quote, good book,
yeah.
Alan,
yeah.
you've lost your individuality.
Sure.
Or at least you're losing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care, you know, how strict of food regimen a person follows and doesn't eat ham and goes through all the food stuff, you know, and that that makes them an individual. No, it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
No, it doesn't.
That's right.
Makes them different than other people, but it certainly doesn't make them an individual.
No. No, and of course, if you have if you believe in the contradictions, then you have double think, as Orwell
yes,
said.
Yes, exactly.
The ability to hold two opposing opinions on the same topic in your head at the same time.
As truth.
Yeah.
Both of them being true.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, that, again, is like a robot that's going crazy because it's got conflicting data. You know?
Uh-huh. Yeah. We have a call coming in. Shall
mm-hmm.
we take it?
Sure.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, I have a question for your guest.
Sure. Who's calling?
Yes, Storm from
hi,
New York.
Hi, Storm.
Oh, hi. How you doing? Yeah, what your first name again? I'm sorry.
It's Alan Watts.
Alan. Hi, Alan. Yeah, I'm Storm. Here's what I want to ask you. I'm sure you're aware they changed the $20 bill twice. Yeah, I'll explain what I'm getting to in a minute.
Yeah.
You're aware of the new $20 bills?
Yes, he is.
Okay. Well, they have two. They made one when Clinton was in office, and then they redesigned it again. You know, the money is counterfeit anyway, but this is the point, to cut to the chase. If you were to take your thumb and your back finger and press it
mm-hmm.
over the left eye area of the face of whether it's Grant or...
Your thumb or your what?
I'd say your middle finger, you know, like the middle finger that, let's say, people in college stick up the middle finger and like
yeah.
you, that finger and your thumb, and you press, like, put the middle finger in the back, put your thumb in the front, or vice versa, and press hard over a new $20 bill, the one that has the different colors on it, because there's two different versions, you will feel the microchip that is over the left eye. And they only have it. They don't have it on the 10, and they don't have it on the 5, and they don't have it on the 1.
But it's on the 20.
And it's on the 50 and possibly the new 100. I don't know if they came out with them yet.
So what was your question, Stan?
No, I'm asking if you haven't heard of that, because, see, if you were to get one, but it has to be the ones that the $20 bills, but the newest ones that look like they have, like, cooking grease on them. They look even dirtier looking than the first new 20 or 50. They have the chip in it. You can feel it. Because when you press on the right eye...
Okay, we heard that. Huh?
Right, you don't feel it. And, well, what they use that for is... I want to see if I get with some people who try to rig it. But what they do is, if you're taking money outside the country, although you can't take money outside...
Oh, a Storm.
If you were going to the airport...
Storm.
Chip could pick it up.
Yeah, Storm, what you're talking about, I believe most of our listeners, and of course Alan is aware of...
They don't know it has the slightest idea.
Right. Okay, well, thank you, Storm.
Okay,
bye.
Yeah.
Okay, Alan.
Yeah.
Any comments there?
So yeah, they've been using technology on the public very quietly for many years.
Yeah.
And they began to actually test active chips embedded in people in the 1960s, and releasing the people who had no knowledge of these chips, and then they followed them down through their life and caused them to do odd things at times, and followed up the how they handled their incidents.
But you're not saying that since, did you say the 1960s?
Yeah.
That they were able to mesh.
Yeah.
That they literally, in other words, that technology that you were telling us about,
mm-hmm.
that they're talking about,
yeah.
that they can now do,
yeah.
that they've been doing?
They've actually been doing. The chip that they implanted then was done in lots of servicemen who had minor operations while in the service, and then released.
And how do you know this, Alan?
Because when you read the psychiatric reports from Britain, for instance, you find that schizophrenia has specific signs and symptoms, and generally they were of a religious nature, you know. And suddenly, about 1960, long before computers, even the word computer became common to the people, they had patients suddenly coming in, diagnosed as schizophrenia, having hallucinations, and believing that they had a chip in their spine that was controlling them, you know. And the one thing they all had in common was they'd all had minor operations while in the military. And that was hushed up, but the fact is...
Now, this was actually in a medical report, in a psychiatric report?
That's right, yeah.
And did they allude to the fact that there was a chip in these people?
Of course they didn't, and the psychiatrist didn't, because... the head psychiatrist would obviously be in the know. They had to be in the know, and
okay.
But the thing was, this was experimental models, you might say, and they could then treat this person, convince them that they had schizophrenia, and give them medication, then release them back into society, and then activate the chip again, make them do strange things. So they have been definitely testing them. But this new chip they claim that they have...
Now, did the medical report, the psychiatric report,
uh-huh.
also report that each one of them had surgery while they were in the military?
Yeah, because they always have their backgrounds and all previous medical records.
Oh, my God.
Now, the thing is, too, when you tie it in with the CIA's UFO deception, which they also plan to unleash on the public, and suddenly you have people claiming they've got chips in their hands or in their nasal passages, in their sinuses, and then you find there are some surgeons who are taking these things out, they're removing them, and they can't explain exactly what they are because they tend to almost move when you try to move them, when you pick them up. So they have this protoplasmic coating on them. Well, once again, I'm convinced it's the authorities who've been doing this.
Uh-huh.
Since it's the authorities who admitted they want to do it to the whole planet, you know. So when they discussed this at the Loyola University meeting, the scientists never said we'd like to test this out. It was all taken a priori that it obviously had been tested out and
uh-huh.
works.
Uh-huh.
They said their only problem was now to convince the public to accept it. And that's how far ahead they are.
Well, I know, I remember you saying a long time ago that when they talk about a technology
yep.
that they've just discovered,
mm-hmm.
they've had it for a long time.
That is right.
And what you're saying, it falls in line with that. We have to take our break.
Uh-huh.
Ladies and gentlemen, please let me remind you that this broadcast is brought to you by you. And as of the end of March, we have taken a big chunk out of the airtime bill down to the shortwave airtime bill, down to $50, $300. I'd like to see it keep moving down that direction. Please, so get the pen out and break the address down.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dough.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Excuse me. All right, folks, we're back with you. Thank you. And in case you didn't get the address, I will give it to you one more time. It is Jackie Petrou, P-A-T-R-U, P.O. Box 190. P.O. Box 190, Millerton, Pennsylvania, 16936. Alan Watt is our guest tonight. And as usual, the conversation is, it gets intense, Alan, is what it does. And I wasn't, when you were talking about the people who came in, that had schizophrenia and thought that they had chips. I'll hold that question. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Jackie?
Yeah.
Joe, how you doing?
Hi, Joe. Speak up, honey.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, heck yes. That's great.
Hi. You know, talking about those implanted chips, I was listening to all this stuff today on the Oklahoma City bombing.
Yeah.
And it brought back to my mind that Timothy McVeigh always swore he had a chip in his buttock.
In his hip, yes, he did, didn't he, Joe?
Yeah, he always did. And that guy William Cooper, you know, they killed him, murdered him out there in Arizona.
Yes.
He said that he run into him. And somebody else, I can't remember who the other guy was, but anyway, they got into a conversation, and McVeigh wanted him to feel of it, because he didn't, you know, he acts like, you know, well, you know, I know you don't believe me.
Who, Cooper said he ran into McVeigh?
Yeah, said he ran into him at a gun shop. In Dolo, or wherever that was he lived.
All right.
And he just said that McVeigh. Oh, it was a couple of Mideast Arab looking fellas was with him, and they of course, you know, Cooper was well known, and they had a real nice conversation. But according to Cooper,
speak up, Joe, please.
According to Cooper, he tried, McVeigh tried to get him to feel of it. And Cooper said, I didn't want to, you know, side declined. I didn't want to feel of it. And, they've been around. It nothing surprises me.
Right.
You know, that they do. But, anyway, I just thought that was, fell in with
that. It sure does, and that
he's saying.
That was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Joe. Thanks for your call.
Okay.
There.
Talk to you later.
Bye bye. Yeah, he did, didn't he, Alan?
Yeah, it was in the newspapers here that McVeigh complained that he did have one in that region. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was in the newspapers here too.
And it also.
And it was on the news.
It
TV
also
news.
It showed a clip of McVeigh in Gulf War One, personally escorting Schwarzkopf around some of the bases.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, and so he was in Special Forces.
Wow.
Now, Andy Ramage, who is in special forces in Britain, in the Special Air Service, the SAS, wrote a book after Gulf War One, talking about his own men being chipped under the eyebrow. So they definitely got chipped for special forces.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that was back in the 60s, Alan.
Well, the Gulf War One.
I'm sorry, I was thinking of Vietnam.
Yeah, the 90s. They certainly did a lot of experimenting in Vietnam. If anyone's ever seen Jacob's Ladder, it's worth going to see.
Jacob's Ladder?
Yeah, the movie.
What is it?
It's about some of the experiences of certain individuals who were tested with different things during the Vietnam era, where they actually thought they were in Vietnam, but they were being tested elsewhere with different drugs and so on, and actually killing each other. It's an interesting movie.
Jacob's Ladder, and they made a movie about this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And people will look at it, and because it's a movie, they won't believe that it's true.
Yeah, they were trying to get their soldiers to become so primitively aggressive that they would kill everything and be ferocious. And they used U.S. troops, created two different sections, and actually set them against each other. Yeah.
You know, then
they dissected the people's the guy's brains even to see what effect physical effect had done damage wise to the brain.
And did they say it had done damage?
Yes.
Mhm. This is a little bit off the beaten path. In the same church, a different pew. Speaking of our military personnel, I hate saying that. The young men and women. Mm-hmm. In America who go, you know, into wars. Lily had heard that we know that they're bringing the recruiters right into the schools today, Alan.
Yes.
And she had heard and is going to try to do some research on it to make sure whether it is accurate or not, that they're actually signing them up 14 years and older.
Uh-huh.
Now, of course, somehow, you know, that's a contractual agreement. When they're not legally bound unless they really change the laws.
Mm-hmm.
That if you contract, you know, 12 and up or something, that the contract is valid. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to say this for the sake of our listeners, for those of you who have children or know your friends' children, your relatives, try to check into it and see if this is happening and warn them not to allow their child to do that. Because it isn't the law anyway.
Yeah, it's quite amazing that psychiatry, American psychiatry, will protect children from pedophiles. The reason being that you cannot have consensual sex from a child under the age of I think it's 16, because they're too immature to make truly rational decisions.
Uh-huh, statutory.
Yeah. And yet they're trying to get them into the military where they can go and get killed at a younger age than that.
Well, I know this is maybe a poor comparison or example, but when you think about it, you know, there are some states now that don't even allow the children, the young people, to have driver's licenses till they're 18, Alan.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And, of course, you could not go in and to a tavern and have a beer or have a glass of wine at dinner until you're 21 years old.
Yes.
But you can go in at the age of 17 and begin to kill and die.
Yeah.
In defense of the world order.
And that's the reason for it, because the military, which is a Masonic order, by the way, everything in the military is purely masonry, all the symbols and so on. It actually is a form of conditioning the mind and drilling out the individuality and creating the mass man, you know, who will do what he's told. But the nearest thing to a robot And children can't imagine themselves dying, you see.
No, of course not. You're invincible at that age.
It's a strange thing to them. It happens to other people, and they're always old. And they're brought up with movies where the heroes never get killed because the bad guys can never shoot straight. And all these movies have happy endings for the guys. So
yes.
They've been brought up purposely to do the killing and be slaughtered, because older and wiser men wouldn't join the military, you see. They know the political scams. They've lived.
Yeah.
And they understand things, but youngsters don't. And that's why the military always recruits the young for their wars. Yeah. And it's well understood as a science.
And, of course, their lack of experience,
mm-hmm.
Meaning lack of wisdom, really,
mm-hmm.
Their minds would be so malleable.
Oh, yeah.
They would be so susceptible to the brainwashing.
Sure.
Indoctrination.
From being a nobody to getting this uniform and having all this accolade of, and you feel so proud of yourself, you see, this is how they do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's a different story if you come back wounded. It's your tough luck, basically. But all these children think, well, somebody else might get it, but it won't be
uh-huh,
me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, they can't imagine death.
And there's also that side of it that literally has turned them into barbarians, where it appears that many of them are killing with glee.
Yes, they are.
And they're celebrating it. They're videotaping it.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many reports, and even you know, the personally made videos,
yeah,
that are being shown on, being available on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, you know, I believe that in the past, for the most part, those who had to engage in war, the majority of them moaned, or I should say mourned, even when they had to shoot,
yeah,
a so-called enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And they grieved, and they were guilty. But today, it's different. It's different, isn't it, Alan?
Yeah, they've been trained by military,
yes,
techniques on video games.
Yes. Hi, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, it's me, Lily.
Hello, Lil.
Hi.
Hi, honey. Can you hear me?
I sent you two emails about that. I found it under Google, if you put in Google search, recruiting 14-year-olds.
Yeah.
And I sent it to you anyway.
All right, thank you, honey.
But it is the parents have to sign in for it, but the children, they're like 14-year-olds to 17-year-olds, and then the parents get hounded by the children that, please, please, please let me join up, please let me join up. And then the parents, or if they are in poor financial conditions, so then they start getting money from the time they sign up, from their future pay. Once they turn 18, then their future pay is just deducted from what they would be getting in the future. It's something in the No Child Left Behind Act, Section 9-something, 9-8 or whatever. It's like a four-digit number. But anyway, if you put it into Google, you'll find it, including 14-year-olds.
And the section of the No Child Left Behind Act, Lily, can you find that and email it to me?
I didn't get it down. It's in the email I sent.
Okay, honey, thank you.
The first email.
Thank you, Lil.
Thanks.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks, honey. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Did you get that, Alan?
Yes. Uh-huh.
So they'll have the parents sign them up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there, you know, I would really love to see that recruitment form.
Mm-hmm.
Because wouldn't you love to see what they're doing or saying or promising,
mm-hmm,
for the parents to actually register their 14-year-old child?
Yeah.
And it could be a boy or a girl.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, good evening. This is Petrua and Mr. Watt.
Hi.
Yes, I have a question for Mr. Watt.
Yeah, who's...
It's Myron. I'm calling from Georgia.
Your name, I'm sorry.
Myron.
Myron, okay, Myron.
Yes, ma'am. I'd like to ask Mr. Watt a question. I'd like to know, is he familiar by the name of Baron von Knigge, K-N-I-G-G-E? he was a partner with Adam Weishaupt in the Order of the Illuminati back in the 1700s, and I was just wondering if Mr. White has any knowledge of
okay.
any research on this gentleman.
Okay, and Myron?
Yes.
You have to hang up to hear his answer.
I will.
Okay, honey, thank you.
Thank you. Y'all have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
I know the name, and I know that, of course, the Illuminati of Weishaupt did not originate with Weishaupt.
Right.
It was simply the Illuminati popping its head up in a period in time, that was all.
Exactly.
Around Weishaupt you had some scientists and so on who were working on human behavior and studying it intensely long before Freud or any of these boys
and that,
came along.
And that Baron von Nigg?
Yeah, and he was one of them.
He was, okay.
What's interesting, too, is that when you read Weishaupt's claims, he said that at the end stage, they'd unleash the nihilists and the atheists.
He said what, Alan?
That they would unleash the nihilists and the atheists in the biggest war for the world. And, of course, that was echoed by Lenin and before him, Bukharin. And it was also mentioned by Marx at one point. So it was all the Illuminati. And what they've done is they've created the very generation of dumbed-down children.
Yes.
Have brought them up on violence and video games. The state has given them their values, not the parents.
Yeah.
And they are unleashing the nihilists and the atheists. And that's why they're over in Iraq killing with glee.
Yes. We have a caller here.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello.
Oh, hi, Jeff.
How you doing?
Fine.
Yeah, there's from what I understand, a $16,000 bonus for anybody that enlists today. Kind of like selling your soul to the devil, isn't it?
You mean they get the $16,000 up front?
Yep, and then they'll be called when they're needed.
Well, that would certainly seal a contract, wouldn't it?
Yep.
If a parent was signing for a minor. Jeff, where did you hear that on the news or what?
From a soldier.
Oh, from a soldier.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks. Anything else, Jeff?
Nope. The reception's really terrible down here.
Oh, is it? I'm sorry to hear that.
Okay.
Thanks. Okay. Bye. Did you hear that, Alan?
Yes.
$16,000 bonus.
Mm-hmm. And just to finish off on Weishaupt.
Yes.
Now, most people know that the Bavarian authorities raided his lodges. Their lodges, by the way, went into Germany and were called the Bienen Lodge, or the Order of Bees.
Oh, geez.
And their symbol was the beehive.
Oh, geez.
Which is the same symbol George Washington and his Masonic regalia has down the bottom of his painting.
Yeah.
But anyway, Weishaupt, when he was chased out, got refuge in the area of Germany of Saxe-Coburg. Now, Saxe-Coburg is the old house of the Saxe-Coburg-Gotha royal family of Britain today. So why would the royal family not only give Adam Weishaupt right refuge, they also gave him a lifelong pension? And that's recorded history too.
Wow.
So you see, they're all tied in together. Weishaupt wasn't an independent agent.
Did you say Saxe-Coburg?
Yeah.
Like C-O-B-E-R-G?
Yeah.
And Sax would be S-A-C-H-S?
It's S-A-X-E, they spelled it there.
Oh, S-A-X-E.
Yeah, but it's the same as Sax.
Okay.
It doesn't matter how it's spelled.
Saxe-Coburg.
Yeah.
Gotha.
Yeah, and that literally was the royal family that George and all those boys came from.
Oh, that was their relatives.
Yeah. So, you see, Weishaupt and these guys were agents of a much higher power.
Yeah.
Just as Lenin was. You know. But getting back to this whole discussion, we are living in the times when spiritual values better start to emerge in the individual. Because the war is going on right now. And it's slow at the moment. And yet, it's also making great strides psychologically to condition people to accept all technology, since all technology is just so wonderful, you see. it's called progress. But once this technology comes to its full fruition and implementation, it's the end of conscious thought, which means it's the end of the human race's ability to contact their own creator, if you like. And people better think
about
that.
Well, you know, the implications of that are endless.
Absolutely.
I it just takes my mind out there, you know, in if that happens to an individual,
mm-hmm.
and they leave this dimension, the physical, with that seed, so to speak.
Yes.
It comes back with them, Alan.
Mm-hmm.
And something has to happen.
Well, that's what
I mean, if we took it
mm-hmm.
out there in, I would have to say the negative. In
mm-hmm.
other words, if they were successful,
yeah.
you would have people being born into it.
Yeah.
Being born into it
mm-hmm.
And never, ever, ever questioning.
They wouldn't have the ability to even...
They wouldn't have the ability.
Think of a question. Yeah.
Right.
If you cannot be who you are as an individual... And no, you are separate, although amongst others, that will be gone totally. As they said, it will be more like the beehive than a natural society of humanity. So this is an ancient goal, and you can trace the beehive symbol not only back to Egypt, but back to the ancient Minoans.
And you know what?
Yeah.
Love would be non-existent.
You couldn't have love because you need individual human qualities and experiences in order to come to the ability to have love, you see,
mm-hmm.
and to exercise it. And if you can't even experience the fact that you are a distinct individual, then you'll be more like, as they say, a bee in a hive with a job to do. And you could have no abstract thought of your own, no abstract imagination or creative abilities. The brain would simply be the conduit for your programming, which is coming through the air from some giant computer. And if they want you to come in for adjustment, you couldn't stop yourself.
Yeah.
Your legs would start walking towards...
That's right.
Yeah.
There would be no... What you were just talking about, I've got this book, Family of Light, here,
uh-huh.
and it reminded me of a short passage in Under the Family of Dark. It was that chapter.
Mm-hmm.
It was talking about the beings who feed off harm to others.
Yeah.
Are feeding their energy fields through a limited channel.
Yes.
And this energy, it says, is not freely flowing through them.
Mm-hmm.
So when they access energy... They want a lot of it, and usually of a violent nature.
Yes.
Those who create harm to others are starved energetically. Why? Because they do not have love and do not feel connected
mm-hmm.
and are shut off from living. The walking living dead is what you are without love.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the truth, isn't it, Alan?
Well, it is the truth. And unfortunately, the ones who feed, as you say, off... hate and anger are in charge of the world, you know.
Oh boy, and they keep creating it, don't they?
It's the only thing they can do.
Yes. They do not resonate. That's another passage in that same chapter in the Family of Dark,
mm-hmm.
that if we refuse to live in fear, to live in hatred, anxiety, greed, all of that type of energy, but in love, in compassion,
mm-hmm.
empathy, that they can't exist because they do not resonate
mm-hmm.
to that vibration, that energy
yes.
of love. They cannot exist in that
yeah.
Atmosphere.
In fact, they can't exist in this very system which they have created. Without it, they can't exist at all. Technically, even physically, they are useless creatures in a natural civilization. They're totally impractical as far as taking care of themselves or doing anything useful.
Uh-huh.
But they thrive on this system which they have created. You know? And the more useless they are physically, the higher up the tree they are as our dominant minority.
The dominant minority.
Yeah.
Here's highlighted a couple of sentences that I thought was really beautiful along what we're talking about. It says, you have equated power with material consumption,
mm-hmm.
collection, and hoarding. You admire people who have vast mansions, caches of gold, jewels, and trinkets to dazzle and befuddle the public. In this, is this really wealth and power? The real power lies in knowing the meaning of the song that the birds sing, to be synchronized and harmonized by the sounds of nature, the tree frogs, the insects, the whippoorwills, the calls of the mourning dove and the mockingbird, or the nightingale with its sweet sound at dusk.
Mm-hmm.
That is perfect, Alan.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's where it is truly at.
Yes, as I say, if you go into the Amazon, those people would be called primitive and backwards and so on, because we come from this system. But they get up in the morning and they live a full day,
yeah.
every day, and life is completely full of meaning for them without knowing what Freud said or Einstein or anyone else.
Right.
They have complete meaning in their whole existence. And as far as being in touch with their spirituality, they're so content and in touch with it that they have no high blood pressure, psychiatrist, or anything else.
Yeah.
They don't need it.
And they don't know that they have over-happiness disorder.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, they're called arrested civilizations by the demons that run this world.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it always does come down to each and every one of us as an individual.
Absolutely.
And it is true that it is a journey we take by ourselves, Alan.
But we do.
Nobody can take it for us, and we cannot take it for anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
We're out of our hour.
Uh-huh.
And once again, just thank you so much for being here.
It's been a pleasure.
Sometimes it would be nice if we had two or three, wouldn't it, Alan?
Oh, yeah.
Right in a row. Thanks. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with you tomorrow night. And thank you for being here. And God bless you. Good night. Good night, Alan.
Good night.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support, and stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated...